It's Father's Day today, and so welcome to Father's Day. Interestingly enough, I often think about some of the things my dad said to me. He said to me once, if you're not at church, the part of the body's missing. I was only a teenager, but that's true, isn't it? That's a good little bit of advice. And he said other various things, and he once said to me, the most important thing is God, yeah? And like education second, and having fun's third. I thought, that's interesting. It's simple, but... And so sometimes I remember the things that my dad told me, and it sort of comes up, and I think, oh, yeah, he said that. And my dad was... he didn't like fishing particularly, but when I wanted to go fishing, he took me fishing, and eventually he liked it. He took it up as a hobby. He was better than me. And but, you know, it's good to be... it's good to have a good dad. But some of us have got, like, different experiences of fatherhood. Some might think, man, some of you might be a father. Some of us might think, I wish I had another father, and because my one was as good as I'd like him to be. But we've all had fathers, and none of us, no fathers are perfect. You might not be a father, but you might have been a father to someone. Mike, he hasn't had any kids, but he's a father to loads of people. I've met people that are like sons to him that he's cared for over the years. So we don't have to be a father in the sort of the natural sense, if you like, to be a father. So we're going to look at someone today, I reckon, one of the most influential fathers in the Bible. And but we don't know much about him. But, man, was he influential? You try and guess what I'm talking about. But Father's Day, where's it come from? I had it on a PowerPoint, so I have to remember what was on the PowerPoint. Apparently the Catholics used to celebrate it back in the 1500s. Like they used to keep it on St. Joseph's Day. Because like he was Jesus' father, you know, St. Joseph. And they used to look up to fathers at that point. But then later on, it didn't come into Europe till the 1900s, apparently. And someone from America, that's how it started. Lots of things start in America, don't they? And, in America, this woman, Sonia Dodd, she had five brothers and was raised by her father alone, and she made it a big thing, Father's Day. So that's quite a nice thing to do. And someone else made it popular because a load of blokes died in a mine once. They said we should honour the men. So that was all part of it as well, but in a similar... But many countries today have Father's Day. Different. Some even have public holidays for Father's Day. Perhaps that's something we should vote for. Father's Day, you get a public holiday. Well, it's a public holiday because you've got a day off on Sunday. So, no, but seriously, I have a day off for Father's Day. So that's really honouring fathers. There's a Father's Day card there. I put one up, first of all, and it was rude. I thought, oh, no, I better not put that one up. And so I found that one. And, you know, we send cards on Father's Day. I got a card this morning on Father's Day, and it said, "Well done, Dad." And inside it said, "I'm awesome." So my daughter, she was, I must have done a great job because she says she's awesome. Well, so certainly she hasn't got any problem with self, what do they call it? Self-esteem, that's it, self-esteem. There's certainly no problem with self-esteem. But I don't know whether I'll get a great job, but I know I've made mistakes. We all make mistakes, don't we? But only the Heavenly Father is perfect. So we give thanks for our dads. But we might have experienced a father figure. I remember someone saying to me once, someone said to them, she was a mum on her own, and said, "You've been a mum and a dad to those kids." So sometimes a mum's a dad. That's interesting, isn't it? They have to fulfil that role. So we got these father figures around us, some natural, some not. What would you... I don't know what you'd say a father needs, but... what do you reckon a father needs? Come on, give me some ideas. What do you reckon you need to be a father? A good father. A good Christian father. What do you think you need? Patience. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah. Understanding. Yeah. Anything else? Tolerance. Yeah. Bit of tolerance. Pardon me? Wisdom. Wisdom. Bit of wisdom. Yeah, yeah. That's good. Anything else? Love, sense of humour. Come on, Esther, tell us what you think your dad should have. Kindness. Anybody else? Jim, Sherry, What do you reckon? What do you reckon a quality your dad should have to be a good dad? No? No idea?
Compassion.
I reckon generosity. How about that? Guidance. Okay. All right. Yeah, good. Okay. Here's a few I've got. If you want to change it over, because I haven't got the machine. Yeah, there's ingredients for a godly father. Yeah, loving, considerate, sports trainer, comedian. So I'll tell you a dad joke. What do you call a guy who used to like tractors and doesn't like tractors anymore? An ex-tractor fan? That's a dad joke. Yeah. Risk taker, because you've got to show your kids how to take risks, but do it wisely, you know? Because life's all about taking risks. You know, you take a risk when you walk across the road, don't you? So you teach your kids how to do it. That's risky, isn't it? So there's lots of risks you take. I taught my kids how to do climbing up, rock climbing. You know, not. And so what can you do? What shouldn't you do? You know, lover of God, I think that's a good one. My dad did love God. That's a good bit, isn't it? Bible teacher. But also, not just teaching the Bible, you've got to live it, haven't you? Because actually, if you don't live it, they go, oh yeah, my dad does all my Bible, but man, you should see the life he lives. So they go, man, I don't want to be a Christian. Yeah. So, prayer warrior, someone who really prays for their kids or prays for everything, you know, because you're passing that on. Good listener, we talked about wise counselor, perhaps there's already come. Teacher, good with money. Man, you want a dad who's good with money, because you want to have enough to say he gives it to you. Yeah, so you want him to be good with money, and because you're learning, good work ethic, good neighbour to others, good Samaritan, because we pick this up off our parents, don't we? They don't get it from strangers, as my daughter said, you know. She's saying, I'm not awesome. She said, you must be okay because I'm awesome, yeah? So you're not going to be awesome unless you've got a good dad. Lifelong learner, not easily angered, patient, generous. Anyway, and then after that, how to prepare it. You need to sling it in the old oven with a big dollop of humility and put it in there for 20 years or so, and then you'll come out as a good dad. Yeah, but actually, it doesn't really work like that, does it? That's what we need, but of course, that's like the perfect dad, really, isn't it? You've got all those things and you're getting it all right all the time. But you know, I reckon, Sacrifice, yeah, that's right, yeah, sacrifice. I'm sure I didn't sacrifice. I phoned my boy up a little while ago, this really happened. I phoned him up and said, I apologised to him for a couple of things I remember doing that I shouldn't have done. Took me years to get round to it, but I did it. And I was just thinking some things for us. Phil, I've got to talk to you about this. He didn't remember them. But I said, you know, I said, man, I should have done that. I should have done that better. So you could argue, I'll quickly put this up. Father or fatherhood is, would you agree with this statement? Fatherhood is a high calling. Man, you've got to have all them qualities, man. That's a high calling, isn't it? No, it's pretty tough. But you know, the guy we're going to look at in the Bible here, man, he had it really tough. Because a real high calling, but he had a very special thing to do. A father needs all that and he needs more. So what's this special father we're going to talk about? In Matthew chapter 1, you're probably guessing now I'm going to talk about, this is how it comes about. This man, he suddenly finds out that he's got this awesome job. This is how the birth of the Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother was pleased to be married to... Actually, if you can put up in the next one, I think... pleased to be married to Joseph, yeah? So Joseph, he was going to be a father. And the interesting thing is this, it says that he was a really good guy. But it also said that to be a father, what do you need to be a father? What do you really need to be a father? Children. That's the first thing you need. You need children, yeah? If you're going to be a father, you definitely need children. You cannot be a father. You can actually be a father without all those other qualities, but you cannot be a father without children. And the interesting thing is this, that to be a father, it says in Psalm 127, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And it also says children are I haven't got enough words there. Never mind. I'll put it in. Children are a reward. That's interesting, isn't it? Children are a reward. So, man, this Joseph guy, he must have been a pretty good bloke. In fact, the Bible does say that he was a... It does say he was a righteous man. So, man, that's good, isn't it? He's got a good start. He's a righteous man. But, you know, the amazing thing is this. God rewarded him with a child. But, of course, this child, who was he? He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. Man, that's a high calling, isn't it? This father is called to be the father of God himself coming to earth. And, you know, I wondered when I saw this, would I and you, who would like that job? Anyone want to bring up Jesus? That's your job. He's got to turn out good, because he's got to be the saviour of the world. Yeah, man, that is tough, isn't it? And could God? No, I put the wrong one in there. Never mind. I'm going to ignore that. Oh, yeah, all right. I'll do it anyway. That should have been trust up there, not reward, but never mind. Could God trust me with his son? That's an interesting question. Could he trust you with his son? Ladies, what if you were Mary? Because Mary wasn't like she was a special woman, but man, that's quite a calling, isn't it? To bring up the Son of God. Joseph was not perfect. He made mistakes. He was a human. He sinned. Jesus never sinned. But Joseph had to bring up his son. So I began to think, what must it have been like to bring up Jesus? We don't know much about Joseph, but we do know that he brought his son up and he protected him. Jesus would have made mistakes. As a child, he would have made mistakes. For instance, the first time he got up and walked, he would have fallen over, just the same as every kid. So it was a mistake. He didn't get it right straight away. Imagine Jesus working in a workshop in his sandals, learning the trade, and he stubs his toe. His dad's got to teach him how to control his anger, his reaction. You know, what do we say when we stub our toe? Yeah? Interesting, isn't it? I'm not suggesting for a minute that Jesus sinned, but Joseph had to teach this son how to handle himself when things went wrong. When he walked across with his mum's brand new pot across the kitchen and dropped it because he tripped over his toy and smashed. And his mum's upset, and Jesus had to say sorry to his mum. He was a boy. He was a real human being. I don't want to be like blasphemous and say, well, anything like that, but you know, but he was a human being. So he must have made mistakes. Didn't sin. So Jesus had to say sorry sometimes, didn't he? Sorry, mum, I should have picked me toy up. Because Joseph said to him, look, son, if you'd have moved the toy out of the way first and then taken a pot to your mum, that would have been more sensible, wouldn't it? Because kids have got to learn, haven't they? That's our job as a dad, to teach them. Son, you should have looked where you're going. He didn't sin, but he had to live and he had to grow. The grace of God is so extensive that he even gave his son into the hand of a human being to be looked after. Isn't that amazing? We've got a role. Joseph had a role here to do. And notice that Joseph, when Mary was found to be pregnant, he cared for her. He didn't disgrace her because he was a righteous man. Now, righteous apparently means that he kept the law. But even though he kept the law, he wasn't hard when he got to that point. I'm just going to go over something just before that. Made me think. As servants of God, if we're going to do amazing roles, we're going to do amazing things for him, and that's the idea, that's what we're supposed to do. It's good to be a good person, but you know, we're still going to make mistakes. We need God's help to fulfill all those things in that list of ingredients. We need God's help, don't we? So who does God help? In Chronicles 16:19, I think, have I put that up? No, go back. That's it. Go. Oh, that's right. Go back to where I was, if you could. If you can't, don't worry about it. Don't worry. 2 Chronicles 16:19 says, "The eyes of the Lord reign throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully committed to him." Did you hear that? If you want strength from God, what we've got to have? The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, so he's looking at us, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So who does God strengthen? Those who are fully committed. Am I fully committed to him? If I want strength from God, I've got to play the game. I've got to say, God, I'm committed to you. You know, so often it's so easy to go, God, please help me. And then tomorrow, if we forget about God, God's going to say, hang on, man. I want you to be committed to me. I want this as a relationship. This is a two-way thing. So, could God choose me for such a task? I think he can, because he's willing to help us in it. She was pledged to be married to Joseph, and he was a righteous man. And don't worry about it, ladies, it doesn't matter. I only wanted me ingredients anyway. So, where was I? He's a righteous man. From a Jewish point of view, he meant he kept the law. But when it came to Mary, she was found to be pregnant. She'd done it all wrong. As far as Joseph was concerned, she'd done it all wrong. She'd gone off with someone else. This was like when you got betrothed in the Bible, it was like probably someone had paid some money towards your family, to Mary's family, and then that was a fixed thing. And the only way to get out of that was by divorce. But Mary, she'd gone off with someone else, as far as Joseph was concerned, and got herself pregnant. But he decided to show compassion. He didn't expose her. He could have had a trial and showed her up to public disgrace. She might even have been stoned. But he decided that he would be compassionate toward this woman who got it all wrong. Here's a question. How compassionate are we towards others that get things wrong? We might follow the Bible. We might be Christians. How compassionate are we towards others? Joseph was compassionate towards this woman, Mary, who he loved, he was going to marry, but she'd let him down. But he was so compassionate that he was just going to divorce her quietly. She was going to suffer enough, wasn't she? He didn't need him making it more difficult. Makes me wonder. Again, you've got to wonder a bit. You know when Jesus was compassionate towards the woman caught in adultery? I wonder if he knew about his dad, that he'd been compassionate towards his mum before he knew that this child was of the Holy Spirit. That's amazing, isn't it? Joseph taught Jesus something, to be compassionate towards others. I'm not suggesting if Joseph had been a terrible father, Jesus wouldn't have worked. But somehow, God was working it out and he was using Joseph, a normal man, to teach his son. Just makes me wonder. What about ourselves? Are we compassionate towards ourselves when things go wrong? Or do you beat yourself up? Because actually, I'm probably my worst critic. I don't know about you. I'm my worst critic. I say to myself, Steve, you shouldn't have done that. You should have had a better attitude. And I beat myself up for weeks. I feel so bad that I let God down, that I let myself down. But remember how the Lord deals with sinners. The Lord's compassionate and gracious and abounding in love. He just wants you to forgive, be forgiven, and know you're forgiven. Whatever you've done, when you let him down, you don't have to beat yourself up. He's taken a punishment. Believe me, I'm talking to myself here. I feel real bad sometimes. I can't sleep sometimes. I think, man, I feel so bad. I don't know if I'm going to sleep tonight. I feel rotten inside. Joseph had found his reason for existing. Have you found yours? His reason for existing was to be that person who brought Jesus up. What a reason for existing. He didn't last too long because he disappeared off the scene. Don't hear about him much. Probably when Jesus died, he wasn't even there. He's probably died. Interesting thing about Joseph, he always seems to be asleep. I think that's a great, great thing for fathers. You can have a sleep and be okay. You know, sometimes my kids used to say to me, Dad, you're asleep. I said, no, I'm just resting my eyes. But it's okay, because Joseph was asleep when God spoke to him. And Joseph woke up when God said to him, have we got this second slide or not? No, forget it. He gave him instruction in his sleep. The angel came to him and said, take Mary to be your wife. And what did he do? He woke up after hearing that and he obeyed. Isn't that great? He obeyed. So Joseph, he heard the message, and all of Jesus' salvation and life depended on that. It really depended on that. So he had to listen to God. And you know, imagine the gossip. They said, well, it must be his. All the gossip was, it must be his. And later on, in Luke 23, it says, this is about Jesus, 30 years later, this is 30 years later, listen what it says. Luke 3:23, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. Everybody thought that Joseph was his dad. Joseph and Mary knew that he wasn't his dad. You know, all the pressure to earn advice from the family was probably, son, get shot of her. She's a bad woman. She's let you down. But Joseph heard from God and he obeyed. And then he had control and foresight because he didn't make love to Mary until after Jesus was born. He wanted to make sure this was the thing, you know, this really was. Because she probably wasn't showing at that time. So he kept away from her. Am I listening to God? He obeys specifically later on because he hears from in a dream. Remember the wise men? They came to Jesus and they saw him, and then Joseph had a dream and said, you better get out of Israel because Herod's after these kids and he's going to kill Jesus. Good job he was listening. Again, it all hinged on Joseph. If he hadn't listened and obeyed, Jesus would have been killed. That would be the end of salvation. Man, again, God's relying on a human being to do the right thing. And he takes him to Egypt and fulfills a word of prophecy in Hosea that says, out of Egypt I called my son. Of course, that was talking about Israel coming out of Egypt when they left Egypt originally and came across the wilderness. But of course, it also specifically is a story of Jesus, that Jesus went to Egypt. Joseph carries on dreaming. And he gets another detailed message. And he said, don't go to Jerusalem. When you can go back to Israel now. So he listens again. Could have been 4 years later. Could have been 6 months later. They're not even sure. But he goes back to Nazareth. They said, don't go to Jerusalem because the father of Herod's there and he's still dangerous. So that's why they went to Nazareth. There was a continual need for contact with God. Joseph certainly fulfilled a God-given mission. Jesus said that John the Baptist was probably the most important man who ever lived. Yeah? But John the Baptist was only there for a certain time to introduce Jesus, wasn't he? Same with Joseph. He was a really important man. But, you know, probably he wasn't as important as John the Baptist, according to Jesus, but he was an important person. Jesus was known as the tecton, or the carpenter's son. Tecton might be builder. They're not sure whether that's carpenter or builder. So Jesus might have been a bit of a stonemason as well. He might have been a general builder, but probably worked for wood some of the time. Apparently there wasn't so much wood around in Israel. There's more stones than wood in Israel. That's why I had to go to Lebanon in the old days to build the temple, because there wasn't too many trees in Israel. So it's quite possible that he worked in stone as well. But you know, Joseph, that this word here was supposed to be great. I can't remember what that word up there is, never mind. I've got it in a minute. But you know, the thing is this, he certainly was very great and he did his job. I was just trying to see what word I was going to put across there just so I don't confuse myself. Joseph, really important. He obeyed. And you know, that made him really great. He was a great guy. He was a really important person. But you know, Joseph wasn't really a dad at all, was he? It's difficult to describe him, really. Was he the foster father of Jesus? Was he the guardian of Jesus? He was certainly the teacher of Jesus because he taught him his trade. You know, Joseph was a great father who obeyed God, but he wasn't really a father at all. So maybe this lesson about Joseph listening to God and doing the right thing and fulfilling God's purposes, maybe it's a lesson that a bit smaller, haven't I? But maybe it's a lesson for us all, not just fathers. Maybe it's a lesson for us all there. Keep on listening to God. God could have showed him all that was going to happen straight away, but he showed him one step at a time. Joseph wasn't perfect, but he lived out his life for God. He obeyed God, and God asked him to take Mary to be his wife. And all of his life, he must have suffered shame. Because people always look down on him. That's the bloke who made Mary pregnant before he got married. Because right up to Joseph's birth, and because Joseph was probably dead by then, by the time Jesus started his ministry, Joseph suffered shame all his life. But he was willing to take that shame upon himself. Interesting enough, what does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 2, when Jesus went to the cross. He said he went to the cross and died, despising the shame. He'd learnt something from Joseph, hadn't he? He didn't worry about the shame. He just obeyed God, despising the shame. Joseph despised the shame. He'd learnt have I done that right? Double S. Oh, that's, I did spell it right the first time, but I didn't hear it out. When you're up close, you can't do it. When you get to my age, you can't spell anyway. But you know, he learned compassion off his dad, the way he treated his mum. What a great man Joseph was. He was a truly great father. What a challenge to bring up the Son of God. I can't remember that word up there, but never mind. But you know, Jesus, the man who died and came back to life, was brought up by a normal human being. We thank God. We ought to thank God for Joseph, who was a great father figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for our fathers. We've got a lot to learn from Joseph. What an amazing man. He wasn't perfect, but God used him, and God can use you and me even today. Joseph wasn't perfect, and nor are we. How do you treat yourself when you get things wrong? You know, when we get things wrong, we're cut off from God. We've blown it. There's nothing we can do. And you know that sometimes we try and look good. We try and look good and we say it's okay. But actually, it's still there. We know we've done it wrong, haven't we? But you know, even though Joseph got things wrong, and he did, he blew it at times. There must have been things that he did, and he thought, I shouldn't have done that. I'm bringing up the Son of God. Man, that was bad. What's God going to do about it? Will Jesus grow up and follow my example, my bad example? So at times, as dads and as people, as Christians, we give a bad example, don't we? What's Joseph going to do? It's there. Jesus can see it. But you know, the amazing thing is, if even though Joseph wasn't perfect, God could still use him. Because actually, in Jesus, there's total forgiveness. We're set free. Because actually, we don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a perfect father. God can still use you. And your kids can still be all right. Look at Jesus. So as Claire said, I don't have to be fantastic for her to be awesome. We just got to trust God. He died. And when we can say to him, God, thanks. You restored me completely. And he did it for you and me. God bless you. Hope you found that useful.